and you break the whites into a little entering bowl.
Into the soup, the most fun you'll have in your kitchen with your clothes on. It's about jumping in, getting your hands dirty, and getting off of the recipe page. We take a bite out of life and we live in the now. Blazing trails, meeting characters, sharing stories, and making things happen. So open your ears and close your mouth, and let's get into the soup with Heidi Lee.
Hey there, boys and girls. This is Heidi Lee, and you are into the soup right here on KWSS 93.9. My rockin' radio redheads at my side, Emily King.
Hey, everyone.
This is, okay, you know what? Somebody, don't pinch me, because I really don't want to wake up. This is so freaking cool. Just so you know, we're up in Flagstaff, and we are in the chef's room of Chef John Conley's joint, Fat Olives. It's the end of April, and we have a roaring fire in the fireplace. It's about 48 degrees. I'm wearing a sweater, and I have on mukluks. So, ha, 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 it's 90 in the valley.
I left my Uggs at home this weekend.
You know, I don't know why anybody would call a brand a guttural thing that elicits pain. It's like, ugh. I mean, right?
They get a kick and of the all
call,
this.
And the call center for Uggs is right here. Deckers is here in Flagstaff.
Is it? The call center for
what, Deckers.
If you have some sort of problem or malfunction with your boot?
You call Flagstaff, Arizona. Deckers. Yeah.
Okay, and your name would be?
They're just not warm enough. Yeah.
And don't forget the 50-mile-an-hour winds outside.
I know. Oh, it was goodness. A fun drive up. It was
I'm really glad was I was
fun.
Already here.
I know. That's nice. You're staying with Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
They taking good care of you. Did you get a mint on your pillow?
Yep, I sure did. They made up the futon for me real nice.
Oh, did you bring your laundry?
I did. I sure did. It's a load
phone,
going right now.
Faux pas. Check it out.
Turn
is it Kevin?
It's not. It's my daughter calling from Fort Collins. We'll put that on vibrate.
Because she'll call you back.
Yeah.
Okay, so I had so much. Oh, look, there's Ryan. Man, this guy's awesome.
On the ball.
He's bringing
Ryan.
Cocktails. It's like 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah, Ryan's in the house.
I'm so down with that. Yeah. So I might have to, like, do you have a couch room in your restaurant?
Hey, Ryan, come around here and let me know what you got here.
Let me. That's really pretty.
You need a mic. Come on over here.
No, this is here.
You've got a great voice, but we need you to come on.
Come on in, nice and close. Larry King.
So we've got the Red Teeny, which is one of our signature cocktails. It's a vodka martini, equal portions of vanilla and raspberry flavoring, a little bit of red wine floated on top, one of our tapped wines, the Han GSM Red Blend.
We've also tap wine?
Yes.
Oh, can I buy that at Home Depot?
Oh. Other than that, we have the basil lemon drop. So that is our another vodka martini with our house-made limoncello, a little bit of simple syrup, a half a lemon, sugar rim, and some basil slices on the inside.
Okay, I'm going to have a lot of fun with those.
Nap.
Can I have one to sample? Yeah, don't make me go anywhere. I found my throne, and I'm not leaving.
Welcome to Flagstaff.
Okay, so that was our weekly wets. So anyway, that came in, you know, segment one. We generally do it in segment four, but that's okay. I'm sure we'll come up with all sorts of stuff to fill our time.
I think Ryan's going to bring us a whole bunch of stuff, so we'll it's the last episode.
So here's your spot. There's your mic.
How much does it cost to Uber back to Phoenix?
I got a friend.
I'm not sure.
I know people.
So Sammy is now in love with farm animals, and we took her out to AZ Fine Swine in Crean Creek. What? I didn't even have a sip of this.
Crean Creek.
Crean Creek. And they raise Mangalica pigs. And they're a Hungarian breed. And a Mangalica, the way that we haven't bastardized it here in the United States, literally translates to sheep pig. And they have, like, hair like a sheep.
Oh.
It's a they call that Rastafarian sheep?
It could be. It could be.
Is it like dreadlocks?
Are they very laid back?
They
look like dreadlocks.
Yeah, and they're just, you know, the food is great, but pigs as a thing, you know, it's just kind of, well, this is what they feed them. They feed them the mash from local breweries.
Sweet.
And organic chickpeas.
Oh.
I told my mother this the other night.
They're
she goes,
happy,
God, I bet that reeks.
They're
I know,
totally.
Right?
That's a Rastafarian pig, man.
Yeah.
I mean, they're
yeah.
eating mash and
eating organic, all sorts of green.
Yeah, all kinds of green.
They're just wandering around. You know, they were gassy, horny pigs. So I got to put a couple pictures of that. So we'll put that on Into the Soup. Oh, so you don't know this, but whenever I say Into the Soup, we sing .com.
We sing
the .com part, so you can find pictures on.
So into the soup .com.
You got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
And if you can do falsetto, all the better.
Yeah. We had a falsetto guy the other day. It was hysterical. So it was Perry and Brenda, and their family. Brenda's family's had this farm forever, and they've got milk cattle and Nubian goats, and so they're going to do goat cheese. They have like a dream that is so amazing. They're going to turn it into this agricultural eco-culture visitor's place so people can see how these animals are raised.
That is. Are they going to be doing tours?
Yeah.
See, that's where you get the kids involved. They get to come out and grassroots and see.
Oh, yeah. And my daughter has never held a small farm animal before, and her eyes lit up like the 4th of July.
Nice.
And she held this little baby goat for probably 20 minutes.
That's great.
I know. And it was so cute. And then she actually... Because I grew up on a farm, and so there's these calves that are they've just finished suckling, so they're just being weaned. And so she's petting it, and it's licking her fingers, and I said, they like the salt. I said, just stick your whole hand in its mouth. Have you ever done that? Because you don't really have much teeth.
I have never done that.
And they wrap their tongue around your hand. And wasn't that a lovely noise? And actually, try to suckle your hand. It's like slobber everywhere, and she's looking at me like,
Could you do that again? All right. Nice.
Yeah, well, when we were kids, hadn't had a dairy farm, we always wanted to, be able to take the cow and
shove your face in the cow's mouth.
No.
So kinky.
Take the teat and squirt the barn kitties, because it was so cute, because they get milk all over their face, and they're like wiping it off. And my dad, being the crazy, wonderful man that he is, made us suck off the teat first.
I don't even know what this is. Speaking of farm animals, though, we watched a red-tailed hawk swoop in and grab one of our chicks yesterday.
Oh, I thought you were going to say one of your dogs. I was like, what?
And flew off through the woods with a little chick in its talons.
A little baby chicken?
A little baby chicken.
Oh, that wasn't much of a meal.
We're minus one chicken.
Oh, we had one in our back down in the valley. Big, huge red-tailed hawk. Yeah. And he got a rabbit, one of the big ones.
Wow.
And he took it down, but it was so big he couldn't lift it.
He hopped along.
Yeah, and he ate it, then he'd fly into a tree. Then he'd come back down, eat some more, fly into a tree. And this is what baffles me. Then he comes back down, spends like an hour eating on this rabbit, and then eventually picks it up and flies away. And it's like, okay, is it just because of weight distribution?
Yeah.
Because the weight's the same. You ate whatever you ate.
Well, he ate and he poops him out.
You think he pooped a lot?
I think he pooped a lot.
Okay.
That's why he went back to his tree.
There was no weight problem. I mean, this chick was gone into the wind, high speed through the pine trees, squealing.
Squealing?
Just saying.
So there's actually a chick squeal?
There was a chick. Beep, beep, beep. It was like, this is the end of the day for me.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I can see where this is going.
Okay, so the fine swine, the little calf, they gave me a 8-pound bone-in blade roast.
And the value on that was?
Uh-huh.
And the value on that was? You told us.
The what?
The value.
The value.
Oh, yeah, $75.
Woo!
Yeah. But if you think about what they're raised on and fed, and they're actually going to, I mean, you can buy a whole pig. So my friend Keith, who's up at Forest Highlands here, he ordered a whole pig. And he asked me, he says, hey, if I wanted mine just fed acorns, can we do that? And they're like, absolutely. We'll give you a little surcharge. You come in, you buy the acorn product. We'll, designate your pigs, put them in a separate area, feed them on whatever you want.
Wow.
Is that cool?
I mean, that's insane. I love the fact that Keith gets to do that. I mean, I know Keith.
I know. I wish he was here. He wanted to be, but he had all that,
So he gets this, heritage, this new breed, and then he gets to flavor it with acorns.
Yeah.
How sweet is that?
I know it. I know. You could put anything. I mean, you could feed them, as long as, and the farmers are just like, as long as it's okay for the pigs.
Yeah, yeah.
And their digestive system, we'll feed them whatever you want. It's like, whoa.
Can you feed them hemp?
Why don't we give them gummy bears?
Is that one of the seven deadly words?
Don't talk about my snacks.
Decrease the gas.
I'm not.
I don't know if they need a medical card, though. I'm not sure.
Didn't they stub their toe?
Do they have migraines?
Yes.
But they're the mellowest. They are the mellowest pigs. They're not, because you can have different breeds of pigs that can be very feral.
Yeah.
And territorial and kind of nasty. And you have to keep the boars away from the sows. But these guys, they suckle their pigs.
Nice.
So they'll go from one mama to the next. And it was absolutely fascinating. So then that night, Keith and I went to Long's at the Hermosa. Have you ever dined there?
I have. Oh my gosh.
So Jeremy Pachenko buys these pigs. So I'm just going all swine here today, but it was so fascinating. And so he sent out this amazing mangalitsa pate that he had made.
Wow. Was it like in a tureen?
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
All the big fat around.
Yeah, cornichons and all that.
Exactly.
Yes.
And he had actually like a little peach cherry or peach apple chutney with whole grain mustard on the side. And then Keith had their pulled pork pappardelle pasta.
Oh.
And I had skate wing.
I am so...
It was so amazing.
I'm going to so steal that. A pulled pork pappardelle.
Yes. It was stunning. It was stunning. So that was amazing. We went to Crean Creek Olive Mill. I've lived here on and off for 16 years, and I've never been there. And it was just the most surprising thing. You know how people are like, oh, let's look at where we're going. And it's like, don't show me pictures. I want to be surprised. I don't want to see everything. I want to walk in. And I was surprised. It was picnic tables everywhere. There was live music. And I'll tell one quick story, and then we'll move on. And this has to do with swine as well, oddly enough. So we order some food, me and Sammy and Keith. And we're sitting there, and we got this sausage in a bun. And it's got these beautiful, you know, sautéed peppers and onions. And this older gentleman comes over before we'd taken a bite out of it. And he says, excuse me, but my wife told me I needed to look at your hot dog.
Oh, man.
And he got so red. He's like, that didn't come out right. Nice hot dog, though.
It's funny, though. I've been there. And you drive up with this expectation. And it really is this laid-back, casual picnic. Bring your family. Rolling hills, grass.
Olive trees everywhere.
Exceptional
and
food.
This beautiful eatery with, of course, all these gourmet olives. I had to buy a couple of jars. And then I'm going to have to stop on my way home and pick up some vodka because I got some Maytag blue cheese stuffed ones. Ooh, a couple of cocktail onions. I'll be in. Okay, so speaking of surprises, we're here with John Conley, and we are sitting in front of this roaring fire in this beautiful wood-paneled room, and I am happier than a pig in. Don't say it. I'll blank it. All right, we'll be back with more from Chef John Conley. Fat Olives up here in Flagstaff, Arizona. I am Heidi Lee, KWSS 93.9. You're in the suit. Welcome back to Into the Soup.
Speaking of which, I mean...
Welcome back to Into the Soup.
.com.
Beautiful.
And here's Ryan.
Look at him. He's just taking over. Sweet. I'll just
soup.
Drink. You want a host? Go for it, John.
Thank you,
and
Ryan.
Your host, John.
Thank you, Ryan. Soup.
Thing.
Okay.
Like we say Into the Soup, and here comes...
Soup.
.com.
It's
one of my favorite
foods. It's why I have it. That's why it's the name of the company. I love it. What is this soup?
This is our Forno Toscana. And this soup
Al Forno.
This is, we do this all in the wood fired oven.
You cook soup in a wood fired oven?
We do. And you
it's
know
like
what? It was a total mistake. So we have a small kitchen. You saw it.
Yeah, you do.
And the whole, we were early in the morning and I determined to make this soup and we came in and every burner was occupied. So
okay.
I'm like, look, I got a hot oven, so let's get the sausage going. Let's caramelize the Maui sweet onions. Let's go ahead and get a pot of stock going, and we'll just cover it and stick it in there. And now it's our signature Forno Toscano, and it's, you know, it's got sausage.
It's got lots. Emily needs to taste it. Is that kale?
It's not. We do it with spinach.
Okay, I prefer spinach to kale.
Kale is, kale.
It has a purpose.
Yes.
It's just one of those things.
I love
that,
kale. Let's not talk kale about it.
Oh, no kale bashing?
No kale bashing.
You love kale?
Yeah, I actually do. Made some last night, some braised kale.
Okay, that's cool. I mean, I like it.
Marinated fish.
I do like it, but I just prefer spinach. So, not a problem.
Me too.
Does Emily get to try the soup, or are you going to just like...
This is all yours. I didn't even touch it. It's yours. There you go.
It is actually really good. And so, you will be giving us the recipe for this, yes?
I will.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
And you can find it on
IntoTheSoup.com.
And so do we have to cook it in a wood-fired oven?
You don't.
Because a lot of people have those. Can we do it on the barbecue maybe? Or
you could do it. Heidi, you could do it anywhere you like.
I have a prerogative.
So, no, but it was just by happenstance we did it in the oven. But this is the stovetop that, you know, you can do this on your steak. And it's really, it's six ingredients, so it's really simple.
Okay, so six ingredients. I see potatoes, I see sausage, I see spinach.
It's got a little apple smoked bacon, it's got a little bit of cream, it's got stock, it's got Maui sweet onions.
Is it chicken stock?
It is.
Okay.
And it is then, ridiculously good.
It is so yummy. Oh,
it's got fingerling potatoes.
What's the little spice?
I know.
So the spice is a chili oil that we make here.
Yeah, that's a little on the top that I
see.
Yeah,
we just put a few drops of the chili oil. It just gives it, we do a little bit of chili flake when we do the sausage. And it just gives
it's good. I know it.
It's a late heat.
I love it because it does give it just a little bit of bite. Yeah. It's really good. A
couple crustinis on the side. And
so did you, okay, so we're at Fat Olives, which is just one of your places.
It is.
And then you have Salsa Brava.
I have Salsa Brava.
Which is right next door.
You could throw a rock at it.
I know. And then you just purchased a building next door and you're going to do yet another restaurant.
Well, we actually have
so
had that building.
So you're going to have like the monopoly board of restaurants right on Route 66
it's
here.
Route 66.
Get
we
your
are.
Picks.
We've Salsa Brava, this is my 29th year. I started when I was 21.
You look so young.
And then there was
it was
a little taco shop over by school, by the university, and then we expanded, and we moved over here. We opened 4 years ago. We opened up several other Salsa Bravas, and then we did Old Town Crepery, we did Stromboli's. I did Stromboli's in the meantime.
Wow.
And then we opened up 4 years ago Fat Olives here, which is a VPN certified pizzeria, Vera Pizza Napolitano.
And what does that mean? I've never heard of that
so
before.
So there are there's about four of us in the state. It's called VPN mm-hmm. certification.
V as in Victor. Okay.
Vera Pizza Napolitana.
Okay.
And what that is there are strict guidelines in Italy if you are going to call yourself a Neapolitan pizzeria.
Okay.
And pizza in Italy is like barbecue in the States. Different regions, different, you know, they're square, thick. But Pizza Napolitana is the mother of all pizzas.
Okay.
And so what we did is with a certain criteria, we have to have our oven made in Italy. We have a Mugnaini Valoriani, third generation oven builder. We have to import all of our own caputo or a 00 flour. We have to use San Marzano tomatoes, which are all DOC certified. Mm-hmm. We have to hand make, and we do all of our mozzarella every morning. And then...
I know. I think we're going to get a sample of that.
Our pizzas have to cook at 820 degrees in 90 seconds or less. After we've mastered all this, then we have Pepe fly over from Naples and spend three days.
Pepe?
Does he bless your kitchen?
Pepe, he does. That's exactly. He has a.
Does he anoint it with some sort of red wine?
Just olive oil?
It's this cocktail.
He has his incense and he comes in and.
Does some chancy little ash on your forehead. Straight from the wood-fired pizza.
Yeah, man.
Right on.
Well, it just tells you how serious they are about this. And so,
well, it's territorial. It's protective. I think it's fantastic.
So he spends 3 days with us, gives us his blessing, and then we get the certification. So there's four or five in the state, and then there's about 35 in the country. And it just really sets us apart and ensures that the pizza you're going to get here is the same Neapolitan-style pizza you can get walking the streets of Naples.
So people that don't understand, what is Neapolitan? Why is it different?
Well, as I said, it's the pizza most rooted in history. Okay. You know, the old village baker. One oven, big village, one baker. You bring him your starter. You bring him your breads. He cooks them in the morning. You come back after the end of the day. Kids out of school, grab your bread and bring it home.
Right.
And this was the start of it all. And then from there, it just flourished, and you know, now you have lots of different types of styles, Sicilian, but Neapolitan is the mother of all.
So do you advertise that, and does it make a difference to your clientele? Are they saying, hey, does anybody know of a VPN joint in Flagstaff?
Well, you know, it's funny. More and more people know about it because you have this, in the last 5 years, you've seen what's happened with wood-fired concepts.
Right.
So it just, when I started this, I started in my backyard. I built an oven in my backyard. I started messing around. We had big pizza parties. I knew I wanted to do a wood-fired concept, and then I honed in on Neapolitan because it's just so rooted in history. And so we started perfecting that. So the whole town knows about it, and then you'd be surprised. Yeah, we have a lot of travelers that come through that certainly look for a VPN. They know the criteria. They know what we have to jump through. So.
And did you, is this, did you have a team of people working on you for the menu development for this joint, or did you just do it on your own in the backyard?
No, I did all the R&D. I know that's my favorite thing.
I know, isn't it?
I mean, I love the design. I love design kitchens. I've done all the design work, the menu design. I do all the menu design and the research and development for the recipes. And so.
And so you went from Salsa Brava, which is total Mexican joint, to Italian.
Yep.
Do you have Italian in your background?
I don't.
Okay.
But I don't
You're
have
just a curious
I don't have
guy?
Mexican either.
Really?
Blonde hair, blue eye.
Yeah.
Maybe Spanish, but
so. Well, speaking of starters though, and I'm interested in this because I'm very nerdy and I listen to a lot of food podcasts and that sort of thing, and they were talking about starters, fermentation, that kind of thing. Do you have a special starter that you use in house?
You know, I don't. And you know what you're talking about. You've worked in kitchens, so it's called a poolish. And you often pull from the batch, you pull it up, and then you feed that. We don't. We start the batch every morning. And in order to be a VPN certified, we have to start our batch. That I love that type of fermentation because it adds that kind of sourdough complexity.
Yeah.
But the thing about 00 flour is it's fine. It is milled very fine, and it has a very low carbohydrate. So if you're gluten-free, you can eat this. A lot of people are like, it doesn't affect me. A starter requires a lot more protein in the flour, and when you do a poolish, your hair is bobbing up and down in the soup.
Is it?
You got it.
I should do that. I find that
you got it. She's like,
your
what?
Hair.
Look.
It stops my split end. I do this routinely. You just don't know.
Oh, God.
Oh. She's a soup bobber.
She's so focused.
So how many pizzas do you sell a week? Or a day? Or
I
a
have,
weekend?
You don't, I have. You know, we do 350 covers, 400 covers on a Friday and Saturday.
Wow. Is that two seatings?
It's about three turns.
About three turns,
yeah,
okay.
About three turns. Salsa Brava, we do 800 covers in a night or during
Holy,
the
day. Well, that's
a day,
huge restaurant.
It is a lot bigger. The thing about our type of pizza is it cooks in 90 seconds.
Right.
So that oven is just a workhorse, and we keep it right at 820, 830, and we're just, pizzas are flying.
Who brings you your wood? Don't tell me you go out and get
it yourself in the forest. No, we have a number of different connections. The thing about the wood, it has to be really dry, because when you have water content, it pops, and then you have debris flying around your oven. So we use a really good cured oak. And we use some pinyon. And then when we can get it, we'll use pecan.
Okay.
So.
And those are those just naturally a drier wood?
Well, they're a hardwood.
Oh,
so they're very dense.
I don't know anything
very
about
dense,
this
very heavy. They don't have very much creosote in them, so it's a very clean heat. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, I can taste the oak in the pizza. and the fact is, when you're. Yeah, well, yeah. Hey, that's one of the seven deadly words.
Well,
no,
sorry.
You know, the fact is you're burning so hot, it's a heat source. It's when we do in the morning, when we do the Forno Toscano, we use a cold oven, but it's still 400 degrees, and we'll put a little piece of oak, and you can actually get that. But when you're at 820, 830, it's a primary heat source.
Okay.
Clean heat.
This is, I want to move away from this just for a minute, because this is the coolest building. And you were telling me about it the other day, or when I came here this morning. And by the way, it's really nice to see you again.
It's very nice to see you, too.
I haven't seen you for probably 6 years.
It has been a while. I saw you on the patio at Salsa Brava.
Yep. And you fed us. And then you gave me a copy of your book, which you autographed for me, which I have.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I have another book coming out.
You do?
I do.
Cool. I'll come up.
I have some kids' books coming out.
Of course you do.
It's going to be very fun. So
Food kids books. Right.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. How many kids you had?
I have three.
You have three children. Okay.
Yep.
So this building was a veterinary clinic, you said?
Well, the not where we're sitting, but right across the patio there, we're looking out the window now, that's a cinder block building, and that was a veterinary clinic.
Okay.
We came in and we gutted it.
Did you find anything interesting?
Well, you know, people still come in and they look at the oven and they go, was that oven the place where they...
No,
it's not, really.
It's not an incineration device, but... good question.
So across the way is the primary oven or the primary restaurant, and we're sitting in one of the first homes built on Route 66. It's an old Basque sheepherder's home, and as you can see...
This is where we're sitting right here now.
Right here.
Okay.
Yeah, so all this original knotty pine was milled here in town. This actually table...
It's so awesome.
It is. It really is.
Is this pine too?
No. So this we used to have a huge building here called the Furniture Barn. Years ago, it was the military armory, and this is 2-inch oak flooring, and they had to demo it about 5 years ago. So we ran in at 4 a.m. with crowbars and the cooks, and we took as much of this oak flooring as we could, and we built this big farm table we're sitting at. Inside, all the bars, the bar that sits around the oven is all made from the oak flooring from the Furniture Barn. It's funny. It was a military building, and then it was a Fruit of the Loom underwear stitch factory. And then
Fruit of the Loom Uggs.
Yeah,
there's a little
exactly.
thing pattern going on up here.
So, yeah, we have a lot of history in this building. I love it. We didn't really do anything but finish it out and just refinish and repurpose what we have.
Yeah. And then, I mean, it's great to build something new, but when you can find something like this that you can repurpose and turn into something entirely different, that has a history.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so cool.
I have a picture of this building when Route 66 was still dirt.
Oh, you do?
I do, yeah.
Can you share it with us if we can get it from you?
It's at home.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no, I mean, just take a picture of it.
Oh, yeah, I can get that to you for sure.
That would be fantastic.
It's a really cool, I mean, if walls could talk.
Oh, I'm sure. A
history.
Basque sheep herder.
Yeah.
We just got that whole animal thing going on.
Basque and sheep and dreadlock Rastafarian. This was a Rastafarian Basque sheep herder's home.
Yaman.
Yaman.
And we know because of the glassware we found here.
So I had a question. Who came up with fat olives? Does it have a meaning, or you're just sitting
around? So fat olives is just a name I've always been zeroed in on.
It's like since childhood, I've had this in my head.
You know, when I think of a name, our next restaurant is going to be called Blue Sage, because Blue Sage is indigenous to this area, and people use it for blessings and for smudging before you do a sweat lodge. And there's a certain spiritualness to it. Plus, my daughter's name is Sage.
Oh, so, that's nice.
So that'll be Blue Sage Cafe and Coffee House.
Thank goodness
and
none of your kids are fat or olives. Olive would have worked.
Yeah. And I have a son. His name is Fat Olive. But when I think about, you know, I envision people sitting in their office and going, let's go to Fat Olive's for dinner. Ryan's here.
Ryan's here.
More snacks.
He's like Ryan. Santa.
Can I put my hair in it?
Ryan.
Line it right up next to
Ryan, what did you bring us?
So we have our stracciatella, which is our house-made mozzarella mixed with a little bit of ricotta, some pecorino romano, some heavy cream, and it was served with some bread and balsamic reduction.
I was going to say, that looks like chocolate. Wow, what an interesting combination.
Oh.
Okay, so Ryan is just like Christmas every 15 minutes. I'm a happy girl.
Yeah, we should get a picture of this.
Yeah.
So this is kind of
So this is one of our best sellers.
Emily,
so
this is
super cool, actually. This we make our own mozzarella.
Of course.
And so let's just say there's 10 steps from step one, the curd, to where we pulled all the mozzarella. What we do with this is we stop it halfway through.
Okay.
And then we mix it with ricotta and cream, and we chill it. So it's kind of like this big clump of house-made cheese. And it's not... It
Ew.
Doesn't, and it doesn't, so when you order it, we literally cut it off of a little block that we formed, and then we put it into the wood-fired oven, and we melt it again. And then, like, we put fresh cracked pepper... really great extra virgin olive oil, and it's super. It's very decadent. It's fat free too.
Of course, it is.
Said no
one ever. Fat free, calorie free.
Well, it's like if you break the cookie, all the calories.
Oh man.
Like she has to worry about it.
Yeah, this is.
I just spin out of control. Where are we for? She's wrapping me up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
well, I'm just eager to try this.
Okay. Get off the radio, Whitey. Let's start this. Okay, so we'll be back with John in just a little bit. Emily King, thank you so much. And this is Heidi Lee, you're Into the Soup.
.com.
Don't touch that dial. Hey there, boys and girls. Welcome back. This is Heidi Lee, and you are Into the Soup.
.com.
I think you're the only one that's ever done that. I'm just like, this is so fantastic. You're the icon of culinary here in Flagstaff, Arizona, John Conley. He's been around nearly three decades. cooking up some food, making people happy, and doing very good things.
Oh.
You have. It's been so cool. I watch you all the time, and you have the biggest freaking smile, man. You post stuff on Facebook, and I'm just like, yeah. And you just recently welcomed Dutch Bros.
We
to
did.
Town, and you sold out Fat Olives for them, and you had like a little video camera going, you, and you put your face up there, and you're like, what the?
It was so cool. So I got to tell you the story. So Dutch Brothers, they did. They opened the first one. We're like, sure, we'll do a buyout. And they were like, okay, great. So they do this whenever they open one up. They had just been to one in Phoenix prior. They had 600 people. Because as a Dutch Brothers employee, you can go to any opening. So,
so
150 people here. The owner flies in on his jet. He's got flip-flops on, cutoffs, and like his hat on backwards, and everything's all, yo, bra, and dude, and I'm all, whoa.
And he gnarly.
It was so, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So he gets up on a chair.
Here at Fat Olives.
In Fat Olives. And he proceeds to give one of the most inspirational talks I've ever heard. And I love that. As an owner, I'm like, oh, you know, and I could really resonate because our message is really the same. I mean, when it comes down to it, I tell my staff, listen, this is lunch and dinner. It is not life and death. Like, you know, we're going to make mistakes, and we need to embrace those and celebrate them and move forward. Just don't make them again. And, you know, our people really are the most important. This theory about the customer, with all due respect,
of course.
The customer is, you know,
our
source of revenue, and they pay our bills. But without a staff, and if you can't, you know, build the culture of family, you're screwed.
Yeah.
I mean, you're totally screwed. So this guy comes in, and then they proceed to have this rave. You saw the film.
I did. It was so awesome.
It was crazy shifts. It was crazy. And yet, the people that were there were so respectful. They didn't overdrink. They ate the food. I mean, it went off flawless. I couldn't, you know.
That's right.
Well, with leadership like that.
Yeah,
it was,
you know,
great.
That makes a big difference. And I think that you have the same leadership qualities because you're constantly on. You know, you give your staff, what, 2 or 3 parties a year?
We do. We shut down. We have a spring. We have a fall. We have a Christmas.
See how much I pay attention. Isn't
yeah,
that great?
Yeah. Yeah, we do. We, you know, without them, you know, we got nothing.
No.
So.
No. And attrition is one of the worst things.
Who likes to spend? It costs us $485 to train a server. It cost me almost $1,000 to train a cook.
Well, maybe that's why people lose people all the time, because they don't take the time to train them.
Well, you
it's
can
like,
train.
Give me the knowledge. You know?
You can spend the money training, which is expensive and takes a lot of time. But if you can invest on the backside, and you know the retention, our retention's about 3 times the industry average, and that really, we still have 85% of our opening team here 4 years later at Fat Olives. Our management team at Salsa Brava has been there 11 years.
Wow.
It's been, you know, and I think the trick is to create an environment where they have no option but to stay. Like, they're never going to want to look for another job.
Because it won't be this.
Yeah, you know, I don't believe in a 41-hour work week. My managers work 40 hours. And they're, I mean, you know what it's like. It's
yeah, we
six,
all
six,
do,
65-hour
yeah.
weeks. But quality of life. 40-hour work week, 2 days off in a row, 2, 3, 4 weeks paid vacation. Really, you know, create an environment where they don't even want to look.
Emily,
I have
like,
a
can
really
I come
important,
up here?
I was just going to
work for you.
Do you have any openings?
I need a dishwasher.
Wow. Yeah, I think
as long as I get to eat a couple of meals here every day.
I put in my due diligence as a dishwasher.
No, and I think that's one of the biggest things why restaurants aren't successful. Is because they don't have a staff that stays. So it's turning, and you don't have a consistency of good service, because even if the food is, you know, meh, if I have good service and educated people, I'm good. I will come back.
It's so important you said that. Yesterday we had a staff meeting at Salsa Brava, and, you know, there's lots of statistics to prove just what you said. So we start our meeting off with a pinata. But in order, 8:30 in the morning, we got a pinata and it's stuffed with little airline bottles of booze. It's kind of funny.
Wow.
But, okay, I love you.
I want a job.
But they have to answer a question.
Okay.
In order to take a swing at the pinata, and one of the first questions is, which is more important, service or food? And the reality is that if you go into an environment and you have great service and mediocre food, there's an 85% chance that you're going to come back. If you go in and you have really great food and terrible service, there's an 85% chance you will never go back.
Exactly.
It's a service. It's about people want this experience. They want to come in. They want to check out of life, and they want to check out. They want to be with the ones they love, talk about the day. And so it's about the people.
And be taken care of. I mean, it's part of what you're paying for.
Yeah.
It's like, make me feel comfortable, you know, and suggest something to me.
Yeah.
When we were at Lawn's the other night, I'm like, what would you recommend? He goes, what are you looking for? And I said, either a pasta or a fish. Yeah. And he goes, okay, either the pork pappardelle or the skate wing.
Did I tell you I'm going to steal that pork pappardelle?
You did.
Okay.
And when you do, I want to come up and try it, because you're going to put it in your wood-fired oven to cook it off, right?
A pork pappardelle ragu.
Exactly. When we were in Italy, boar ragu.
Wow.
Oh.
Nice.
You got to play with that. Promise me you will, because whatever you come up with is going to be... I brought it back in jars for my friends and bought a suitcase to bring this back. It was absolutely... I did. Did I know you then?
Yes, no.
I did.
Well, what were we talking about?
You didn't share. So.
I didn't. I'm sorry. So that's a big thing for keeping your people with you. And then I want to switch real quickly, because Emily and I have actually been covering this a lot with chefs, so it's seriously an issue. And a lot of shows that we've been doing, it inevitably turns down this road of service and staff and quality, everything.
It really is. It's not just, it's so important. I'm just kind of like stuttering. You know, when I look at an employee, I don't want to look at a server. I want to look at the whole person, because they got a lot going on outside the restaurant too. And this is, you know, use this place as a place to come check out, you know, to leave your life behind. And
for the most part, they're young people.
Yeah.
And they have a lot going on, and they have a lot of big decisions that they're making, and they're falling in love, and they're falling out of love, and they have to buy a car, and they need new tires, you know?
Yep.
And that's their major stress of their life. So
for
you to provide an environment where you can come in and just say, just do your job and chill, man, have a good time.
Come in and have fun. And if you're having fun, you know, I wish I could. So back to this guy from Dutch Brothers. He stands up and he says, and this is really ties in with what you're saying. I won't use the word that he used because I can't, because I was told I can't before I started the show.
So, we'll know what
so
it
he's
is.
On this chair. He's looking at 150 people, and he goes, raise your hand if you are one of the new opening team members. 25 people raise their hand. He goes, I got a word for you. You're going to F this whole thing up. And the crowd went wild. And he's standing on a chair. He's like, you 25 people, you're going to F this whole thing up. And you know what? We're going to be here to catch you. We've got the support.
Oh, my God.
We totally expect that, and you're not going to hit your head.
I got goosebumps. Yeah.
I did, too.
And it was
like, I wish somebody would tell me that.
Yeah.
I did.
And he's like, he said, this company is going to embrace that moment when you F it up.
And that's why they're fantastically successful. That's wonderful. Wow.
Really how cool. Inspiring. That's really cool.
What were we talking about before? Pappardelle with pulled pork ragu?
Right. You know, that just gives you the
employee retention.
How much we got left?
We've got time.
Oh, we do? Okay.
Yeah.
So, guys, grocery games.
Guys,
I can't believe
games.
I missed that with
I know,
you on it.
Like, hello.
I know. And so you won.
I won.
And you won $16,000.
I crushed it.
I
crushed
it. What was your entree that you had to do? Your last dish.
You know, the last dish I did, they gave us pork spare ribs. You got 20 minutes. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, here's a pretty tough protein. So I went and I got a pressure cooker, apple juice, some honey, some ketchup, brown sugar. 12 minutes in the pressure cooker, it came out like it was the bomb. And so...
nice.
It was hard.
It was way hard. You only got 20 minutes for an entree?
20 minutes, yeah. And, you know, they don't prompt you. There's some shows out there on the Food Network where you get a little bit of a hint. There's no hint.
Right.
It's like, here we go. And it was hard. It was hard. And then, so I won $16,000. I'm actually very proud of this.
You should be.
My son, who has trisomy 21, he has Down syndrome, Adam, is an avid athlete with Special Olympics. So we took the 16 grand, we brought it back to Flagstaff, and I put it up for a matching fund. So we hope to turn it into 32,000.
Oh, that's great. Cool.
And what we did, what this community did was turn it into 52,000.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So it was really amazing. I mean, I get
Did you cry?
I cried many times.
He like to participate in, or what's his event?
Anything with movement. I mean, he just did, on Friday was the outdoor, was track. He did the javelin, the 50 yards, the 4x100 relay. He did long jump, came home with 3 gold medals. And
is he so proud of his dad? Does he appreciate it, understand what
you're
doing?
Yeah, he does. Adam's very high functioning. He knows what's going on. He loves, you know, we're going to get him in the restaurant this summer, and he'll be bussing tables.
Right on.
Oh, that's great.
I got a littler one, Ivan, who's totally into the kitchen.
How old is he?
He's 11, and he makes a chicken marsala that will totally, you know, his thing
so
is...
So wait a minute. minute. You have 19.
I know.
17. And 11.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Yep.
Okay.
So
you did that, and so you have. Isn't Guy Fieri going to help you out and try to do more stuff? And
you
and Bo and all the big boys down south are going to head back?
Well, Bo's there right now, I believe. They're filming, I think, season 1,644 or whatever it is. But I have been invited back. They're going to be doing another one that has... I'm not the only one who has donated the money. And so here's Ryan. We have 1 minute left, and he shows up with...
I love it. So we'll come back, and Ryan can explain what we're going to do. Oh, dude.
Oh, my God.
Can I get a to-go box to take this home?
Oh, there's our burrata.
Okay, pitchers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we've got a margarita pizza, burrata. We've got some charcuterie. And can I lick that plate, do you think, John? Would that be okay?
That looks really good, Ryan. Nice job. Yeah.
You can lick it as long as I get a picture.
Oh, that reminds me of a joke, but I'm not going to go there. All right, this is Heidi Lee. You're into the soup. Take it, John.
.com.
We're coming into segment four, our last one. Dang, these shows go fast. We will be right back. KWSS 93.9.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Oh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hey, boys and girls, welcome back to
IntoTheSoup.com.
I love this guy. We are
I don't even try anymore. He's got such a
great voice.
Let's
do a harmony. Come on. Ready?
IntoTheSoup.com.
You were there. I'm here.
You were off an octave.
You say IntoTheSoup. Ready?
IntoTheSoup.com.
There we go.
All right. How you do that.
I was totally not made for that.
Okay, so this segment is brought to you by Local First Arizona. We like to tip our hats to localfirstaz.org. Shift 10% of your spending to a local organization, whether it be a restaurant, a purveyor, a boot shiner, doesn't really matter. Support our community and our economy. And I also wanted to say a big congratulations to Kimber Lanning because she got married this weekend.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes, I know. And she was just glowing. I saw some things on social media and it was just like, wow. Do you know her, John?
Who?
Have you met Kim?
Yes. I'm just going to go with yes. No,
yes.
I don't know Kim.
You don't? Okay. She's lovely. And with what you have, you know, being the do-gooder, philanthropist person that you are, Local First Arizona would be something that you should look into joining.
Is this a cash for change? Like a certain percentage of cash, of your cash sales goes towards?
No, what they do is just promote supporting local.
Oh, nice.
And buying local. Okay. And so businesses, we're a member of Local First.
Okay.
And so it just helps them support their cause and go out and do all the really neato things they do. Kind of like what you do with, what an amazing segue. I love that when it happens. Mess Lords.
MessLords.com.
Yeah, you're like on cooking on big, huge, freaking B-52s and submarines. So what's that all about?
The Mess Lords is a group of chefs. There's four of us. There's Panini Pete, Stretch, Gorilla. I am Johnny Brava. And we're actually entertainers, and we're brought out through Navy Entertainment, MWR, which is Morale, Welfare, and Recreation. And we travel all over the world and bring a little taste of home. We've done, you know, tail hooks on a number of aircraft carriers out in the middle of the Mediterranean.
Tail hooks?
Well, when you come in, you land on. You
okay.
Know, so you do, and then you get catapulted off. So we've landed on a number. It's crazy.
Is that bad?
180 miles an hour to zero in 1.2 seconds.
Wow.
It's
and crazy. So you've done both on and off?
Yeah, we've been catapulted. And, you know, we've been, I think, in the last 2 years alone, we've been doing this about 4 years, 22 different countries, 35 different bases, and 130,000 servicemen and women.
And what is the purpose of this? Just to be there for our servicemen and women, you know, and give them something kind of cool? And
you know, we hear about this on the radio, we see it on TV, but there's really nothing like getting your boots on the ground in Djibouti, Africa, and seeing what happens and how long these men and women work. And it's our job. We work primarily with the CSs, which is the culinary specialists.
Okay.
These are the young men and women that are stuck in the galleys. And we'll come in and we'll have chopped competitions and we entertain them. And then they have this rotating menu. Every 2 weeks, everything's IQF'd, it's frozen. The Navy actually was famous at one point for being all scratch, but in the time of budget, this and that. So we'll come in and we'll show them. I was on the Stennis, the USS Stennis, and none of my food showed up. But they do what's called a RAS.
A
resupply at sea. So this other big destroyer pulls up next to the aircraft carrier and unloads all the food, airplane components, fuel. You're doing 20,000 meals a day. There's 5,000 people on an aircraft carrier. So there's breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then there's a mid-rats at midnight because 24/7. So in the case where none of my food showed up on the RAS, we just kind of went through, and they had everything. We do a Navajo taco at Salsa Brava, which is traditional fry bread, beans, pulled pork, and they had everything there. So
one of those?
We did what we believe is the first Navajo taco at sea in the history of the Navy for 5,000 people. and now they have every Wednesday Navajo taco night on the USS John C. Stennis. Yet they have it all there. So we come in, we teach them some tricks, we bring them a little taste of home, we have competitions. We do a lot of photo ops and autograph sessions, and we just have a blast.
Hugs all around.
And hugs all around. We get to come in for 10 days, do breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And with all due respect to, say, Kenny Chesney, who I love, I'm going to go see here in a couple of weeks, you know, he'll fly into Guantanamo Bay and do a two-hour concert, and it's expensive. And then he's gone. And it has a great impact. Don't get me wrong. It has an amazing impact on morale. But the thing about us is we're free because this is a service position. We don't get paid for it. And we're there three times a day for 10 days, 12 days, 18 days.
Do you have to raise funds for this, or those costs covered?
Yeah, so through Navy Entertainment, there's a budget.
Oh, okay, cool.
And so they will get our menus. They'll make sure our food there most of the time. They'll fly us out there. And, you know, they have to. It's really amazing what goes on in these places and the amount of work. I mean, a CS, I was doing a cooking show in Phoenix. So I'll make this really quick. And I was describing the work week. You know, there's six 13-hour days, Monday through Saturday, that the CSs work, a 13-hour day. Then they have to do their PT. They got to do their they have to study because they're all trying to upgrade. They have to do their laundry. They have to make all their beds, which actually take a long time, these bunks. And then
especially military making a bed. Yeah. It's very different.
And then on the seventh day, Sunday, the day of rest, they work a 10-hour day. And they do that for months and months and months. And I was called out by a particular host. They're like, look, there's, you know, that's a 90-hour work week. There's labor laws. And I'm like, there are no labor laws. They sign there. That is a standard week for a CS, 90 hours on an aircraft carrier, 7 days straight for months. It's absolutely incredible the dedication they have. So, we get to come in and just bring a smile to them.
That's really cool.
That's the hope.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's very wonderful. Is it like uber fulfilling?
It is. You know, there's tears. I mean, really to see. You know, to be on the deck and hear a young man just say, hey, it's a boy, you know, and we're like, what? He's like, my wife had a baby this morning. And we take all that for granted. I mean, births and weddings and birthdays and family passing. And it's amazing the sacrifice that is made. It truly
is.
And
there's a very easy, seamless transition between military and culinary.
Well,
because it's a brigade system, you know.
And it's a long work week as well.
It's a long work week. It's true. There's five galleys. So there's a main galley that'll do 3,000. Then there's the pilots. And then there's the commanding officers. And
those are big freaking jigs.
These are
huge. I was on the USS Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Yeah, the aircraft carrier came when I was in the Virgin Islands. It came in, and we did some day sales for some of the sailors. And, you know, you go from a, you know, how many, 450-long ship to a 35-foot sailboat. You're like, hey, do you want to come for a tour?
Yeah.
And so we got there, and he changed into his whites, and he was petty officer, and came and took me around, and I got this guided tour. I got to go up to the bridge. It was amazing. It's so vast. It's so vast.
You know, it's...
People don't get it.
They don't. They absolutely do not get it. I mean, my kids get to go to sleep and wake up in a free country every single day because of what they're doing out there.
Right.
Every single day. And like I said, to see it and to read about it and see it on TV is one thing. But literally to, you know, we were in Djibouti, Africa, in Camp Lemonnier when, you know, there was some really bad stuff going on.
Some serious unrest.
And you know, they put an escort with us. They're like, protect the chefs. So, you know, we have like a shooter in front of us, a shooter behind us. We're escorted everywhere. And, I just can't say enough. It's just, it's so fulfilling.
That's great.
When did you go do that? I had a few friends who were stationed in Djibouti.
I've been to Djibouti 3 times. I'm going back. Well, I can't tell you the date, but I am going back. 3 times I've been in the last 3 years.
Cool.
Yeah.
Let's switch gears so we can move to your new place, Blue Sage. When are you expecting to open?
So we're doing design work right now for Blue Sage Cafe and Coffee House. It'll be super cool. Breakfast and lunch only. Open at 7, close at 2, maybe 3. We're going to be doing...
You sure you didn't want to take something on that was open 24-7? I mean, come on, are you slowing down, old man?
It's,
or what?
It's cool because it has a drive-through component to it. So
really?
So awesome. We're going to do four different types of hash. So we're going to do this new breed of pig that's called the Rastafarian pig hash. No, I'm just joking. No, but we're going to do a number of different...
Served with a side of jelly beans and hemp.
And we're going to feed it. We're going to feed it hemp, and we're going to have a hemp Rastafarian pig hash.
Nice.
Captain Crunch. Nobody's house smoked salmon, bagels. We're going to be doing we're going to be doing hash, 4 different types of hashes, a really cool line of Italian coffees, salads, some really cool soups, real value driven. And we're just going to make it available. You know, we want everybody. So,
you know, and we had talked about this before, but you are remaining family style and not that higher price point, which people are competing for here, which could be difficult, could prove to be difficult, maybe not. Yeah. But like I was saying, I was at Tinderbox a couple of weeks ago. And their price point's what, $30, $35?
$35, $40.
They're packed on Friday night. And it was young people.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So there is that discretionary, you know, disposable income that people have here. So more power to them.
Yep.
But for a family friendly, because that's kind of the kind of guy that you are, as talented as you are, and it doesn't mean that family friendly can't be quality and really, really good.
You know, it's really simple for me. I like to cook food that I like to eat. And, you know, I don't have... you know, buffalo meatballs on a regular basis.
No.
Hey,
you're talking buffalo meatballs, not Rocky Mountain
buffalo.
Rocky Mountain oysters, you know. You know, really, that is what, you know, when you come to Fat Olives, you're going to get really wholesome grandma
everything
cooking.
Everything we've had, you've given us like 6 dishes, and there isn't one that I'm not salivating over.
And so what I try to do is keep like Fat Olives and Salsa Brava. I mean, there's a lot of tradition in Mexican food. It's rooted in...
It's very good, and I've eaten there too.
Rooted in history, but I get to twist that. So the same thing appeals to Fat Olives, and the same will be said about Blue Sage Cafe and Coffee House.
And you know what's really cool? I've always wanted to do this, is park yourself in a food truck that sells soup. Soup and really good coffee and great bread. And people can drive through it, and you have like your staple soups. So you've got your beef barley, you have chicken noodle, you might have tomato, and then you have all these different soups, and they buy a big, huge cup that has your brand on it, and they take it up to the mountain.
Nice.
And it costs them half the price of buying something hot. And you know, these hot dogs out there, they're skiing with the backpack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they can stop on the side of the slope and drink their soup and have their bread.
Yeah.
You know, and it really, and they come back and they, you know, buy their container, and every morning on the way up the mountain or their way home, they pull through the drive through and get a big, huge thing of, you know, yummy, sustainable goodness. That's
Take it away.
But that's kind of what Blue Sage could be for you.
There will be a component where you can come in and, you know, we'll be doing, you know, all steel cut oats in the morning, and there's nothing in this part of town for that.
Right.
But you'll be able to buy cold soups. You'll be able to buy sandwiches that we're going to have prepped, and then we'll panini them for you. We'll grill them for you. So
yeah,
it'll be fast casual. We're not going to be doing full service. So that's the trend with really what's happening in our industry. It's unfortunate. There's huge increases coming. But fast casual is the fastest growing segment in our industry.
Well, it is. And you know what? That's okay with me because it's getting rid of chains. Not completely yet, but it's taking place of that as people get busier. They want something good, but they want it fast and they want it at an affordable price.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what chains are. And they're like, I don't care if I have to drive through or just walk up and get it and take it in my car. And it's not like I think, you know, chains aren't the devil. It's not Satan. They have their place. But there's more. I'd rather see more of you.
Well, and I can maintain a scratch approach. I mean, there's this thing called the prime cost that you're familiar with. It's food cost and labor cost combined equal a prime cost. Well, the cost of labor is going up. In order for me to maintain a scratch approach.
You mean that $15 an hour thing?
Gosh, don't get me started.
Let's not go there, yeah. Yeah. That's a downer.
Now,
I
can't even
think.
You wrecked it. No, but so in order for me to maintain that scratch approach, I've got to work on the labor side and fast casual, come up. Order your food. We're going to bring it to you, or we'll call your name.
Right. But the thing about it is that you're a trusted chef here. You're a trusted provider. So if you come through and you offer something different, it's going to be successful because they know that they already know your stance.
Well, I hope you're right.
I would think, of course.
I hope you're right. But, you know, and you know, there are no guarantees. I don't take anything for granted. We have to earn the respect of every single person, regardless of whether I'm flying to the Middle East to cook or whether I've been on guys' grocery games. None of that matters unless I can perform in the kitchen.
So and take care of your staff.
Yeah, and provide quality service. We cannot take anything for granted, and we don't. I mean, I'm so grateful to be able, at 21 years old, starting a restaurant, still be here. I just turned 50. I mean, I'm like, I'm speechless some days.
I know. So. It's great, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
I love what I do.
I love what I do.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke. That was really fun. That was really, really fun.
Thank you.
You are so gracious.
Oh,
you're so gracious. And it was great to be able to sit in this beautiful room and have a crackling fire and look outside and go, holy crap, it's April.
And blowing 50 miles an hour. Look at that.
I know it. Yeah, I get to drive back down the mountain. So do you, little girl. Be careful. Yep. You're leaving later than I am. Yeah, but you have a car that's lower to the ground. Do we have time to do the Paul Harvey thing or should we save it for another show?
I think we have time.
Okay. Yeah. So I heard Paul Harvey, who I hope you all know, there was something on social media the other day, and he wrote about a 2-minute soliloquy that says, and on the eighth day, God looked down at his paradise and realized that he needed. And so it's called So God Made a Farmer. And I've been meeting so many farmers, and they are the coolest freaking people. Just kind of like chefs. Not all of them. You are. And they just have this love of the land and this love of life, and they don't take anything for granted because you're basing your life on the weather. You know, and predators, and Rastafarian swine. So if we can get that in there, I would really appreciate it. I again have no idea where we're going to be or who we're going to be talking to next week, and that's the charm of everything that we do. So again, thank you so much, John.
Oh my pleasure.
It was really nice to see you.
Really.
Thanks, Am. We're going to get some to-go boxes.
Cheese.
I know, isn't it great? It's like, oh my God,
and I'm not going to wash my sweater because it's just going to smell like. You know, campfire.
I don't think you should wash your hair.
Oh, no. Snacks in the ends of my hair, just in case. You never know.
Well, thank you very much for making a trip up the hill.
Oh, it was great.
We've been talking about this for a long time. It's great to see you. You look great.
I'm glad we got to do it. Thanks. Yeah, we're having a lot of fun. Life doesn't suck. I'm a pretty happy girl.
Do I get to do the .com thing one more time?
Yes, you absolutely do. Right. So everything that we've talked about, all the recipes, all the pictures of the food will be on Into the Soup.
.com.
Beautiful. This is Heidi Lee. Take care of each other. Take care of yourselves. We'll see you next week.